We're going to be in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Going to be looking at verses 1 through 17. So stay, if you guys, if you would stay standing for me, please, real quick. Yeah, I know y'all sat down. It's all right. Colossians chapter 3, looking at verses 1 through 17. Couple things I want to do before we begin. Pastor Faid from Kuwait is with us. And where is he at? If he could just wave his hand. There he is. Let's give him a round of applause, Mosaic. He is serving over in Kuwait in the Muslim community. And before you go, if you make sure to connect with him, they're doing a great job. They're great work there. So make sure he'll be back at the back with me as you guys exit. Make sure to shake his hand and connect with him. Pastor Faid, welcome to Mosaic this morning, man. Awesome. Secondly, and again, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. So if you want to open there, have that ready. I am Pastor Jason Fulham. I greet you from Youth for Christ East Michigan. Many of you have seen me around. I'm a member here at Mosaic and kind of traveling around a lot. Work with the youth over there on Wednesday nights this coming fall. But in that greeting, I wanted to share something with you because I know there are a lot of heavy hearts this morning. And if you've been following the news, it would be it'd be bereft of me to just ignore what's going on in the world, right? But I got to tell you, we serve a Savior. And I got a text from my sister yesterday telling me, you know, praying for Virginia, and we happened to be out, me and Shelly, most of the day. And so I didn't know what was going on. And when I was watching the news last night, maybe you did like me, but I kind of watched the news and I shook my head. And in my heart, I asked this question, Lord, when will it end? And I thought of my little two-year-old who one day, probably sooner than I would care to, I'm going to have to explain why people hate. And I got to tell you, it broke my heart. And then right then, I tell you how God moves. God said, when will it end? I'm coming back. And in that, find that, we sang that song, Victory, this morning. Find that that's where we have our victory. Amen? And so we continue to pray for what's going on in our world. We continue to pray for those that are down in Virginia. We pray for those that are all around the world. Because what you're hearing on the news probably isn't half, of what's going on out here in our communities. Amen? So we need to be steadfast prayer. And if you were to say, I would join you in that prayer, Pastor, raise your hand. I'm serious about this. That you would commit just some time to pray. Amen? Amen. Well, let's open up into God's word. We're going to talk this morning about continuing what you guys have been talking about the last couple of weeks. Just do it. But we're going to talk about how faith is the fuel. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. A lot of scripture. We're going to get through it. I promise you. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. I'm going to read all the way through 17. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in a place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 2, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Is that not timely for today, ladies and gentlemen? For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Come on, y'all. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Verse 9. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Verse 12, since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Verse 16, let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And verse 17, And whatever you do or say, do so as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through God the Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that we have your word to guide us even in our darkest time. And we have nothing, as Michaela prayed, we have nothing to fear because you walk with us. I pray that in these next few moments you will guide my very words, Lord, that my words would be your words, not about us, but about you. And that we would come away with new insight to what you have planned for us. And all God's people said, amen. All God's people said, amen. You may take your seat. Well, a couple of things I want to touch on this beautiful Sunday morning. As said earlier, you guys have been concluded a series last week with Pastor Mick called Just Do It. Now, I got to confess, I am probably the largest, as many of the teens will attest to, Michael Jordan fan in the room. I mean, I followed those Chicago, oh, Countess got me, okay. I followed those Chicago Bulls when they were playing the Pistons. I know. And some of you look at me like, even in the 80s, yes, because I just like to watch Michael Jordan shoot the shot, right? Well, maybe, and Pastor Mick may have illustrated this, but Just Do It as a campaign for Nike actually began in 1988. It began with a man named Dan Weeden, who actually heard a slogan by Gary Gilmore that said, "Let's do it." And Gary Gilmore made this his life's slogan, "Let's do it. Let's do whatever God has called us to." And he heard this and said, "Man, that would be a great slogan for a tennis shoe," ironically, right? You're thinking, what? But this slogan, when you hear Just Do It, you could go to anybody on the street and they will say, just Nike, yes, they know what that is. And I hope this morning as we look in the scripture, Colossians 3, that you understand to just do it means you have to have faith, amen? Now here's where we mess it up. We put our faith in people. I'm gonna say that one more time. We put our faith in people. Amen. And oftentimes, that faith is misplaced because that faith is deserved for God only. Can we go back to the Old Testament where he says, I am a jealous God? He wasn't just saying that for our lip service or ear service, was he? He was saying that because he wanted you to know, I want you to be the men and the women that God have called you to be. And that includes when things like Virginia happens, we don't panic and run and arms flailing like it's all go. No, we have our hope and we have our victory in Jesus Christ. Now, I could stop right there and let you guys go early and that could be the sermon, but we're not going to stop there. Some of y'all are like, really? No, we're not going to stop there. We got more to say. Colossians chapter 3 talks about, and some of you have that sometimes, is living a new life. Well, I want to submit to each and every one of you to have faith as our fuel. We can do it. We can talk to people about our faith. We can share God's word about our faith. Many of you know with Youth for Christ, I get to speak at many different churches and events. And I got to tell you, it's nice to look out and see some familiar faces because the last couple of weeks, I've looked out and saw people I didn't really know. But let me tell you something. They were hungry for the gospel. And it's our job as the men and women of God to let faith be our fuel so that we can go and do it. And as Mick always says, do it. And then we go home. Anybody want to go home? I'm not talking about home. I'm talking about home. Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And in Colossians chapter 3, he begins, and I love, you have to watch how Paul writes in his letters, especially Colossians, Philippians, and Ephesians. When he starts to write, he's trying to get you something in those first four words. And if you have the NLT, since you have been raised to new life. Let's pause right there. Here at Mosaic, we have had many times when the waters of baptism and you've seen people, and there's something about that look when somebody comes out of that water, right? If you were to tell them, we are going to go, I was about to call it the Renaissance building because I'm way back when, but the GM building, y'all know what I'm talking about. We could go down to the GM building and we are going to preach the gospel. You tell that person coming out of those waters, they're ready to go, right? Some of you been there. But what happens? Life. Life happens, doesn't it? Things happen. Things happen in our families and in our society and in our world. And we have to focus back to verse 1 that says, since you have been raised with a new life, and that new life has to have faith. Amen? That was a good amen moment, y'all. That new life has to have faith. It is the key. It is what runs the engine. Faith. You want to do great things for God? You want to even attempt great things. Let's not talk about doing. You want, then let faith be the fuel. You see, the battle we face The battle we face is there's a world out there that's pressing down on me, but then God's word is saying, be raised to new life. How does that match up? How does that match up in my faith? I'm going to give you 3 points. You can write them down, put them in your notes section. But I'm hoping that you will reflect on these 3 points throughout the week and say, you know what? I want to do great things for God. Let's be positive. Because too much negativity in the world, right? Everybody, you ever around a negative person at work or at school or something, and they just drain you? You walk in on Monday and they talk, you say, I had a great weekend. I went to church. I worshiped God. I had a great time with my family. And they come in, oh, it wasn't all that great. Well, wait a minute. How are you going to tell me how my weekend was? You know what I say? Just do it. Glorify God. Amen. If you know me and you know anything about me, you know I have a thing for superheroes. Right? I do. Mickey Veach, if he was here, he'd tell you. He knows me. I have loved superheroes since I was crawling practically. My dad introduced me to superheroes. And I get asked this question all the time. Jason, who is your favorite superhero? I get asked all the time. And, you know, it just kind of depends on the time I'm in, you know, because I have, there's so many superheroes, and you know the movies, they're all out there. But lately, I got to tell you, Superman, and I know he's DC Comics, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, has been, because I think to myself, man, isn't Jesus kind of like, he is our Superman, right? Think about it. He's coming back for us, and he's not coming back as an infant born in a manger, but he's coming back as a conquering king. And what does he tell us? What does Paul write us? He says, be raised to new life. What does that mean? Mentally. You see, we're not there yet. I hope we're heaven bound. If you're heaven bound in here, stay with me. But maybe you sit there, you say, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Well, you need to get to know him because it will change your life. It changes everything about the way you think, the way you act, the way you raise your kids, the way you interact with your family, since you have been raised to new life. You see, and if you go back a little further, Colossians chapter 2, there was a group of called the Gnostics. And this is who Paul is writing to, because the Gnostics, and that's spelled the G-N-O-S-T-I-C, they actually believed that they had figured the whole Bible out. They were like, Paul, he's a great guy, but you know, we've got this. So they were at the church of Colossae, who the Colossians are, or this is who we're talking about. And they were basically telling everybody, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We figured this all out. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of that thinking going around our world today. We can't figure God out. Right? That's like the clay talking to the clay maker saying, I figured you out. No, he made us. And there's some peace that should go with that, that we rely on God and say, you know what, God, I realize you made me. And I realize that faith in you is the fuel. Faith is the fuel to do what you would have me do. Instead, we tend to treat our faith, our Bibles, our churches, our beliefs, like our cell phones. Everybody got a cell phone? Hold it up. Hold it up. He asked me to hold up a cell phone in church. Yes, I did. Hold it up, right? Now, hold it up. Hold it up high. That's all right. You can check it on Facebook while you're doing it. Look, multitask, right? Now, follow me here. When we treat our faith like our cell phones, we shop for it. Some of you got those, I see you, that real cool case right there, right? And you shop for that case. Yes, yes. Some of you, you look at your screen and you got your screen. Some of y'all, like my wife over there, is glittering with the bling bling. Yeah, I see it, right? That's how you can put them down now. Some of you are like, I got to hold up my cell phone and check. Okay, you can tell Pastor Mick that next week. But follow this. In the same care, think about it. And when that phone don't work right. Yes, y'all at the Sprint store and the Verizon store throwing the phone on the counter. Something is going wrong. Fix it right now. You can't wait. Fix it right now. Why aren't we that way about our faith? Right? Why? Well, we take such care with ourselves. And if we drop it, oh my gosh. Right? You ready to cuss everybody out in Jesus' name, right? Right? But why don't we get defensive about this great, amazing book of the, you get what I'm talking about? Why don't we get defensive of God's word, of our faith? Why? We take so much care, and that's how we shop around. Well, I don't like that worship song, or I don't like that church, or I don't like that preaching. Well, you know what? What is God trying to reveal to you through that worship song, or through that church, or through that preaching? And isn't it amazing? isn't it amazing that people would have said, what, 2 years ago, Miss Janice, this, and I'm not just talking about this, but I'm talking about you, could not be accomplished in the city of Detroit, right? Right? They say, oh, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to work out. Well, you know what? We serve a God that says, since you have been raised to new life, focus on those things. And I praise God for the leadership here that said, you know what? We're not going to listen to everybody else. We're going to focus on what God has called us to do. So God help us to not treat his word like our cell phones. God help us. I told you I was going to get the 3 points. That was all extra. Y'all can take that for what it's worth. 3 points. When we have faith, as our fuel to just do it, first point, you can write this down. We rise above temptations. When faith is our fuel, follow me, when faith is our fuel to just do what God has called us to do, we rise above temptation. Verse 2, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share it in his glory. That's verses 2 and 3. Keep those up there if they're not behind me. Oh, that's right, they're not. Don't worry about it. You got them. Look, watch me. Follow me. When we keep Christ at the forefront, when we do things, and this, let me tell you something, it's a thing I have to practice all the time. Because there is that watching the news this weekend, right? There was that moment of despair. It's like, what is the world coming to? Well, let's go back to Matthew chapter 24 and 25. Didn't he say it was going to happen like this? I love it when God's right, which is all the time, right? He said there are going to be troubles. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and are we not seeing it? So why are we surprised? We rise above temptations. You see, Jesus helps us to do that. Why? He's the master teacher. He's the master. You ever think about this and park your mind here for a second. You talk about rising above temptations and faith being our fuel. You ever think he could have been so quick and concise, because that's Jesus, with the disciples? Think about this. When he had these 12 men walking with him for 3 years, he just could have said, doom, doom, do it, do it, do it, do it. Just like we do with our kids, right? I tell Jackson all the time, for whatever reason, early on, he was drawn to the stove. What is it about kids and the stove? I don't know. Maybe I did that too. I don't know. He was drawn to the stove. And then Shelly and I would look and say, that's hot. That's hot. And he would look at us and he would see that. Now you have those kids that will push the envelope and just going to go to the stove, right? But then what happens? Did they get burned? Do they do that again? No. Why? Because they got burned. What are we trying to do as believers? We're trying to help people to stop them from burning themselves on the stove by saying, here is the gospel. Here is the living word of God. Don't get burned. You could go a lot of other places with that analogy if you follow me, right? Some of y'all went there. And see, that's good. You're thinking. Stay with me. Rising above temptations. He was the master teacher to show us how to rise above those temptations, to have faith as our center. He said, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. It's kind of hard when the light bill due. Kind of hard when the rent looks like it's falling behind. It's kind of hard when the world looks like it's tearing itself apart. It's kind of hard when you're going to walk out of here in a few moments and you might get flipped off in the car just pulling out of church. It's kind of hard. But it's not impossible. It's not. The world may say it's impossible, but it's not. Why? Because that's where faith is, right? Faith is the evidence of things unseen, Hebrews chapter 11, 1. So when we have faith as our fuel, we can do it. The book of James, we can do it. Direction giver. Not only does he help us as a master teacher when rising above temptations, but he's a direction giver. He gives us direction. You can read it later. 2 Samuel chapter 12 talks about a guy named David. And I love it because if you look at 2 Samuel chapter 12 and read Psalm 23 as Michaela read up through 31, they kind of correlate with each other. You can read it later. But a little guy named David, little shepherd boy who was called to be king. And in fact, throughout the whole Old Testament, 1 and 2 Samuel, Saul, who was the current king, became jealous. He became so jealous, he wanted to kill David, sent warriors to kill David. His son, and if you know the story, that Saul's son's name was Jonathan. And Jonathan said, Dad, listen, this boy has done nothing to us. But he was so jealous and so angry, and he set his mind on the things of this world. And those temptations, that temptation to be jealous, to be envious, to be angry, to be anxious, all of that funneled through Saul, and he could not see beyond his own self. God help us if we ever get to that point. God help us. You ever thought to yourself, my gosh, some of those scenes we've seen in the last 24 hours, we would actually see that in America. You see, when it comes to rising above temptation, we have to put ourselves, and perhaps, I think most time, our feelings out of the way. Amen? Now, I got to tell you, when it comes to the Word of God, and you say, okay, I get it, rise above temptation. Sometimes we're not good at following directions. Now, I'm gonna put some people on blast. Who's not good at following directions? Raise your hand. I can recall a trip to Tennessee with my wife. She's remembering it now, and you're going to hear it. And we were driving. She knows how to get there. Her family's down there. She knows how to get there. But, we're driving and driving, and I have no idea where I'm going except you just stay on 75. Now, if she hadn't told me where I need to turn off to get into Knoxville, I would not know where I'm going. Why? Because Jason doesn't like to necessarily look at a map, and that was map times. Now we got GPS. It's a little easier. Could you imagine going someplace you didn't know about? And let's be honest, that's what the world thinks about us as Christians. They're like, most times Christians they come in contact with, don't tell them what the Word of God is saying. And the Word of God tells us, just be obedient, be faithful, do what I'm calling you to do. If you ever think about this, and I'm not trying to give every pastor away, but think about this. There's a gold nugget in every sermon you've ever heard. Think about the gold nugget. I'm talking about spiritually. Don't think physically. Spiritually. There's a gold. There's something. There's one and many truths, but there's one that God wants to speak to each and every one of you about. Ever thought about that? That's how the Word of God works. So for some of you, I said be raised into new thinking, and maybe you're sitting here and you're dealing with despair and you're dealing with some trouble. That's when God wants to speak. Maybe you're dealing with a physical ailment. I got to tell you, I've been a Christian, goodness, 17 years now, since 2000. And I've been blessed to see God deliver people. And when we get this in our head that God doesn't deliver us from our temptations, we have to have a willing heart, though. It's not just God. Yes, God can wipe it away, yeah, but he may be trying to teach you something. He may be trying to teach. Wait a minute, and I'm not saying this calamity was caused by this, but maybe through this horrible situation in Virginia, he's trying to teach America something. Not that God has caused it, follow me, but he's trying to teach us something. And it's up to us as believers to learn from it. So you sit here and you say, okay, I want to rise above my temptations. Then you know what? When God has provided for you, and let's be honest, he's provided so much. We're sitting here. We have the breath in our lungs. We're able to hear the Word of God. When he has provided for us, it's not on us to be ungrateful. You ever see somebody who's ungrateful? I'm going to put myself out there. I was an ungrateful kid. Let me tell you, my mom had a thing about birthday parties. If you know anything about me, birthdays are so important. And my wife looks at me and is like, why are birthdays important? Birthdays were just always important. And I remember my 7th birthday. You talk about ungrateful, being ungrateful. 7th birthday, my mom got a magician, clowns. My grandmother was the head of the block party, block club. And so they gathered together and they celebrated all the kids' birthdays from that year, this one year, my 7th year, from Norfolk to Pembroke, all along Monta Vista. If you know that area, you know that's a large area. And we gathered like right in the street. It was great. They had, and everybody, kind of pooled their money for the block club. And who was the one who was crying through the whole thing? Me. Because Miss Roberta. Pray for me, y'all, because I'm not going to raise my kid like that. But I look at that, and I was like, what was I? I was like, they had magicians and clowns and all these carnival kind of games and stuff, and the block came together, and there was one ungrateful kid named Jason Stephen Fulham. And I think about that. Sometimes that's how we treat the Word of God. It's right here. We can pick this up anytime and even electronically and read it, but we don't. We don't. Is it great to come here to Mosaic to hear God's word? You're going to get in here? Absolutely, yes. Is it great to come to the altar and have time with God? Yes. Wonderful. Is it great to have time in worship? Yes. Wonderful. But what about your personal time? What about, and that goes for all of us. We can all take it up a notch or two, right? Rising above temptation. Second point, you can write this down. Not only does God's word and faith is our fuel help us to rise above temptations, but God's word helps us to rise above our own flesh. Okay? Temptations, external. Flesh, internal. Follow me here. Verse 11. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in us. Somebody better underline that in their Bible. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in us. You see, the Colossian church struggled with, you have to do things. You have to look a certain way. You have to act a certain way. And you know what? Honestly, he's saying it doesn't matter. God wants you. God wants each and every one of us. And not only that, when he, as he has you and has that relationship with you, he wants to use you, because you guys are going to come into contact with many more people that don't know the gospel, that need to know the gospel. So God uses us to get people to know the gospel. Make sense? I got it. You got it? So if that's the case, the question becomes, how are we going to be used by God, and how are we not going to let the flesh get in the way of our faith? You may be sitting here this morning. I don't know what kind of morning you had. Maybe the orange juice was sour. Maybe you didn't get breakfast. Maybe your stomach's growling right now because you're ready for lunch. I don't know. But you're here right now, and you're hearing the word of God. Now what happens is, what do you do with it? What you talked about the last 4 weeks. What are you going to do? Because for each of us, it's not for us to just sit and hold on to it. It's for us to go out and talk to people in as many arenas as we can. In as much time as we can, and not be like I was, that ungrateful kid that, you know what, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit from that pastor. Well, no. The Holy Spirit wants to move, despite what I'm saying. He might move in you in the parking lot in a conversation. He might move in you in the foyer. That's just how he does. But we look to be, okay, I got to have it this way. No. I'm telling you what, God, it's like an Etch-a-Sketch. Anybody had that? Some of y'all got to Google that later, but that's all right. I used to get so mad. I had two cousins. When I would do my Etch-a-Sketch, and you could only do squares. I mean, technology is so, like, great now. Now it was only squares, right? And I had two cousins, Tracy and Bernard, would come over, and whenever I would make this great work of art, they like to shake it up. And it made me mad. And I'm still praying about it, but you know, I'm gonna get over it someday. But they shake, and you know what? Let me tell you, it's actually a good thing. Watch this. If our lives, our struggles, our issues are like an Etch-a-Sketch, God comes in and shakes it up. Y'all can take that home with you. That's all for y'all. Y'all can take it home. Take it home. It's y'all. Y'all can take it home. Don't even put my name. It's all, you know, glory to God. But God shakes us up like an Etch-a-Sketch and says, you know what? I'm gonna give you a new life. I'm gonna start over. Isn't that awesome? Because I don't know about you, but I like a new start. Anybody else? Yeah. I like to know that, man, I can have a clean slate with my Father every day. Yes. And when we say, you know what, I want faith as my fuel, you are reminded of that every day. You ever have that moment when you're walking in the dark and you should have turned on the light, but you didn't? Anybody ever had that moment? And what have some of you done? Just shout it out to me. Come on, come on. Yes, that little pinky toe, that's the one. Forget the big toe. Y'all see, I got toes right here. This is the big feet. Well, I stubbed my toe, and Lord have mercy. It was the worst pain ever. You could have took a knife and stuck it in my back. And who was I going to be mad at? Because I should have turned on the light. Well, Mosaic, here we go. Turn on the light. You're like, Pastor Jason, you could have said that in the first 5 minutes. We've been out here. Yes. Turn on the light. Turn on the light to your faith and say, you know what? I want to be able to see clearly, not only for myself and my spiritual journey, but for others. You see, that's the sacrificial nature of Jesus Christ. That's the sacrificial nature the Colossian church just didn't get. They thought, okay, I could just do these things. Where Paul is writing and saying, you got to have faith. Faith will fuel it. So yes, we need to do it. Absolutely. But if faith is not at the center, we've missed the point. Understanding that doubt can kill. Man, we fall prey to all these things. And you see all the vices that are out in this world. And doubt can lead to us putting more faith in our flesh than faith in our Father. When Scripture is clear, focus on the things of God. Focus on what God has planned for you. I want to give you a couple of Old Testament examples where there had to be focus. And stay with me. Samson. Oh, my favorite story in the Bible. If they need to do a movie, a remake, that's the one. Because I love this. Even as a little kid, strong. You talk about superheroes, Samson was just strong, right? But then came old Delilah, right? And Delilah did that wink, right? And Samson said, okay. That's the story right there. That's the story. You're like, wow, some of y'all ain't read that. You're going to read that. Yes. Yes. And then all of a sudden, the Philistines, they all took him away and they beat him up. And they, not to be gross, but they gouged his eyes and they beat him up. And he found himself, after being the strongest man alive, torn between two pillars like this chain. In the Roman, and they're all, Roman Colosseum, they're all laughing at him. They're looking at him, pointing and laughing. And he prayed this prayer. And it's like one of those, I don't know, it's just, man, it gets you. He says, I believe in you, Lord. Give me the strength one more time. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you say, I believe in you, Lord, but I need the strength to get through this situation one more time. And I'm here to tell you, them Romans, they didn't know what was coming. Because that man, the muscles must have did like the Hulk, right? Bruce Banner, just bam! And down came the Colosseum. Samson. He got beyond his flesh. He got tempted by the flesh, but he got beyond his flesh. What about David? A lot of the churches I've been talking about David, like, been a fascinating character who was torn by his flesh. Basically, he had everything, right? But he said, I want that. He was the king. He had and I love it in 1 Samuel 12, read it later. When Nathan comes to him, his trusted advisor, Nathan comes and says, I got to tell you something. He begins to tell this story. And David said, okay, who did this wrong? Who did this wrong thing? You talk about getting ensnared by the flesh and not letting faith be the key. Nathan said, you did it. Could you imagine what it was like to be Nathan? He'd been like this the whole time, right? He said, you did it. And David, realizing that his flesh had overtaken him, said, you know what? Faith is the key. Faith is the key. I want to do great things for God. I want to be a great king for God. And much like Samson did at those pillars, David reclaimed his faith. Oh, but there were consequences in his family. And just because he reclaimed his faith and he was obedient and he realized the greatness of God, there were consequences. Samson, David, 1 John 1, 9 says he will cleanse us. He will cleanse us. He will wash us. And you look a little further in verse 8 of chapter 3. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to one another, for you've been stripped of your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on, again, there's that word again, the new nature. Put on the new nature. So the first point was rise above temptations. Faith is our fuel, allows us to rise above our flesh. And then the last point, rise above all the things around us. It's a long point. And know that he is our God. Okay? I kind of summarized those two statements into one. Rise above all the things around us and know that he is our God. Underline, he is our God. You see, as he continues to write, and you get right around into verse 12. Since God chose you to be holy people, he loves. You must. He didn't say you should. He didn't say you ought to. He said you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. How many need a little more patience this morning? Amen? I don't know what it is, but we all need a little more patience. Some of y'all need some patience just to get through this sermon because you got lunch waiting on you. I'm getting there. Stay with me. We need patience. I don't like to sit in traffic. Can y'all pray for me this morning? Some of y'all need to pray for each other. Anybody else there? Let's be honest. And let me tell you something. I don't know why I'm always thinking they set up them orange cones just for me. I'm going to be transparent with y'all. And the other day I'm on I-94. Lord, help me. And I'm like, why are all these orange cones out? There's nobody working. Right? Oh, y'all thought that too. And you're like, okay, pause, stay with me. Because it's okay if somebody out there doing something, but you could have 3 miles of orange cones getting down to one lane and you don't see nobody working, it's gonna be some smoke in the city. Y'all ready to set some on fire. So I'm driving and God got me and I'm on my way to Port Huron, which is not a lot of traffic up there. It's more than 94 this way. But I'm on my way and I'm like, are you kidding me? There's nobody out here. Why don't you just do that construction at night? See, some of y'all thought this. Well, you know what? I'm sitting there and then all of a sudden, I'm kind of watching the car in front of me, like watching the guy, and he is raging out. Like, you know, if I'm upset about it, I'm trying to get it together, but he's like pounding on the steering wheel and then looking out the window. And wait, here's the one some of y'all do. I'm going to put y'all out there. He kind of swerves over and then swerves. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Like, that's going to change something. Right? So and then I said, you know what? I'm here. It is what it is. I'll get where I got to get when I got to get there. Right? Some of y'all need prayer right now. I get it. We live in a state where there's salt all over the place. But get this. Just taking those, and I'm not saying that's all the time for me, because sometimes I still get upset. But I'm trying to work on that. And that's what Paul is saying in Colossians. He said, look, work on those areas. You want to do great things for God? You want to just do it? You want to rise above and know that he is God? Then rely on him. Maybe take that moment, throw in some worship music, and have yourself your own private worship session. Some of y'all do that, don't you? And it helps. Because it's kind of hard to be mad when the worship music's playing, just saying. Right? It's kind of hard. Maybe taking that time just in prayer. Whatever that is. I love how we are reminded, and we sang this song that talked about victory. And I think I've said this a couple of times as I preach here. I love to win. Some of y'all do too. You play Monopoly with me, it's going down. I need to win. I need those green properties, and that's it. You can have the rest, Park Place and Boardwalk, but I like to win. And I love the fact that with Jesus Christ, Paul realizes this, we're playing on the winning team. Every shot goes in with Jesus. He wants every soul. And it's up to us. We rely on his Holy Spirit, but it's up to us to be obedient to God and to realize that he is God, no matter what the situation, no matter what. Last couple of verses here. Verse 16, let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. We just did this part. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God and with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through God the Father. Here's where I want to conclude. I'm going to reference this and you can read it later. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us spur one another along. Let us encourage one another. So I'm going to give you a little homework assignment. Some of you are like, homework? They're all like, homework? I know. A little homework assignment. Find some ways to encourage people around you. Now I'm going, this is the Holy Spirit speaking. I didn't have this plan, but we're going to do it. Few moments, we're going to call our ushers up and the worship team's going to lead us in the song, and then we'll have that time where I pray and you guys exit. But this is what we're going to do. Before you grab your kids, before you head out for your lunch, I want you to take a moment to encourage someone. You may not even know their name. Start praying about who that is right now, just to say an encouraging word. Maybe, you know what, you like the outfit they have on. Whatever. One encouraging word. And I want you to, even if you need to look around the room right now, pray about who that is. Now, it doesn't need to be somebody you just necessarily know, but maybe something you saw, you know, I just thank you for your obedience. I thank you for, if they're on the worship team, I thank you for leading us in worship. Encourage one another. You want to get beyond the flesh. You want to realize how God is our God and have faith as our fuel. We encourage one another. We spur one another on. We got a world out there that's willing to tear us apart. So Mosaic, let's be different. Simple as that. You want to do great things for God? If we can't do it here among our people, we'll never do it out there. Mick says that all the time. I want you to bow your heads. I'm going to invite the worship team up. The challenge is simple. Ushers are going to come forth and we're going to collect of God's tithe and your offering. Any prayer requests or first-time visitors, we're going to acknowledge that. Just put that right in the basket. So ushers, you guys can come on forward. And after the basket passes by you, I want you to stand and just worship. I'll come up and close us out in prayer. And then we'll take maybe 3 to 5 minutes just to kind of walk around. And once you've done that, you are free to go for the day after I pray. But pray about who that person is that you just want to encourage. You see, faith is the fuel to do great things for God. God is here this morning. And no matter what you're dealing with, situation or person, God will help and guide you through it. He is an amazing, amazing, amazing Savior. So Heavenly Father, I pray right now, you've prepared our hearts for this time. I ask, Lord, that as we worship your greatness, Lord, that you would just be glorified. And Lord, you would spur us on. Maybe some of us feel like we run out of gas this morning. I'm talking spiritually, not physically, just spiritually. That you would fill us up, Lord. Do it in a mighty way, God. In your Son, we pray the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen.